We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm going to kind of start very general here. In the big picture, you're a franchise on what's an embarrassing run of playoff misses. It hasn't been touched in your franchise history. You're closing in on NHL history. You've gone through, you're on a second coach. You've been here 4 years, little progress, 25th place in the standings again, a lot of high draft picks, trades, guys in and out. You have a team with very little identity that plays with very little passion at times, and the fans have lost their passion for this team. Please tell us, in a big picture term, what is your plan? We can't figure it out. What kind of team are you trying to build, and what has to change for you to be part of this league again?
Well, look, I think what we've tried to do a lot and what we're trying to build is, we've felt the key focus for us is to get players developing within our organization, within Rochester, understanding how to win at Rochester and come up to the National Hockey League. And I think what we've tried to do at each position, we've tried to improve our development at a goaltending position. I thought Linus Allmark this year took a big step from his standpoint. On the defense, I think it's a team that we've tried to look from a standpoint of a lot of puck movers, guys who can actually skate very well. We've brought that in. I think you look at the development of Rasmus Dahlin and Henry Jokiharju, two young players in that element. We feel very happy about where our defense is right now and where it's going. At forward, we feel we're certainly still a work in progress. It was great to see our star players, such as Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, have a solid year and continue their development. But, you know, for us to make another step to be into the playoff mix, it's going to be imperative that we find more scorers within our group here and have a development of young players such as Casey Mittelstadt, Tage Thompson, and Dylan Cousins. And from a standpoint, I'll follow up with is just, look, we've understood the passion of our fans here in Buffalo. We understand that this is a strong hockey market. And when we've performed well, they've certainly supported us. And I think we understand the difficulties that it is to compete in the National Hockey League day in, day out. But you see it with our home record this year. I think we ended up being eighth in the league this year on our home for home wins. We enjoyed playing at Key Bank Center. We enjoyed feeding off our passion of our fans. And especially in this 50th anniversary, having so many alumni back in, you know, our young players getting a feel for the history of our organization. You know, it excited our guys. Now it's the importance to keep that home record moving forward here in the next couple of years, but also improve our road record here now.
Hello, Jason. Hope all is well with you and the family during all this, first of all.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. A lot of people have been looking towards this summer as a time when you can really make some changes with expiring contracts and a little more cap space than usual. How are you looking at this summer and what you can possibly do? Or off season, I should say, since who knows when it's going to, if it's this summer or not.
Well, look, the biggest thing that we need to know moving forward is where our cap is going to be. And we feel we've put ourselves in a good position because we have flexibility that we have contracts coming off of there. But it is going to be difficult to sign players until we know exactly what the figure is from the National Hockey League. And that's obviously with every team here. We look at our young forwards. We think this pause here right now, it's going to be challenging to keep our players sharp and they're still sharp. So our performance staff is going to have to be very creative from that standpoint. But we look at it as a great opportunity for our younger players, such as Rasmus Dahlin, Jokiharju, Casey Mittelstadt, to really get their bodies stronger and ready for the demands of the National Hockey League. Because when this does start up, whenever it does in the fall for us again in the 2021 season, it's going to be an interesting 18 months. You look at both the 2021 season and then moving right into the 21-22 season. So it's imperative that we take advantage of this time right now.
Hey, Jason. Good morning. John Warrow here.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Like the beard, looking sharp.
First time caller, long time listener. Just what is the level of disappointment knowing that you came 0.7 percentage points or 8 percentage points away from making the playoffs and being in this expanded format, and knowing that you were in Montreal ready to play the team that edged you out?
Well, look, there's disappointment, but it's the end of the day, it's our fault. We didn't win more games prior to that. We shouldn't have put ourselves in that position. We should have been in a position that no matter what happens, that we would be more a part of the mix. So the disappointment from our standpoint is I felt our group really enjoyed being together and challenging each other, trying to get better as a group. And I think Ralph enjoyed communicating with the guys on daily appearance. That communication has certainly continued over the last couple months here. But it's just not the same as being there every day out on the ice, interacting with each other. So it's certainly disappointing. And just the fact that this was our 50th anniversary. We had a couple other events planned for March and with obviously start of April. So disappointing that those couldn't partake to and stuff too. But at the end of the day, we should have put ourselves in a better position. I think in the 5 or 6 games leading up to the start of the pause, we played well, but we didn't get the results that we wanted. And, in a situation where you get into February, March, April, you have to get results. That's the end of the day. You have to get results. We did not get that. So that's a disappointing element.
Jason, Adam Benigni, WGRZ-TV. Mm-hmm. As you assess your time here, relative to the performance of the team and the overall results on the ice, where do you feel you've come up short? What do you need to address? What are the shortcomings from a GM's perspective as you see it? And how do you need to improve that specifically?
Well, look, it's a situation where I think I touched on it before. We have to do a better job at creating more offense throughout our four lines of having more depth scoring throughout our entire lineup. As a GM, I have to give our coach, Ralph Krueger, the ability to change different lines up, to have more depth through his forward groups. And I will certainly always support, and I truly believe in a lot of our young players that we have within our system here. I know Tage Thompson, it was disappointing that he had to have the surgery, but extremely excited that he's going to be back part of our group here. I thought Casey Milstat went down to Rochester with the right attitude, and now this is a great opportunity for him to continue to work throughout the summer on his strength. Dylan Cousins, this gives him a couple extra months here in preparation for another NHL training camp. So I'm going to continue to believe in these young players because I believe these young players are going to help us get over the hump and give us depth throughout our organization. But it's also going to be something that we continue to look at, hey, whether it's through free agency or through trades, the availability of different forwards to add to our mix here.
Hey, Jason, hope you are doing well, kind of building off of that question. You know, a lot of fans have expressed their frustration, and rightfully so. Why should they be confident in the direction that this team is heading with very little improvement year by year, at least in the last couple of years?
Well, I think it's the younger players, the younger talent that we're bringing into the mix here. I also think that you can look at, we've shown it. We've shown the capabilities, whether it's the 10-game winning streak the year before. This year, what I was excited about was certainly a very good start, but we showed glimpses throughout, through the rest of the year. It was disappointing. And we went through a tough stretch coming off of our trip to Sweden with a couple injuries and facing some good teams. I liked how we came back in December, playing against, I think it was Edmonton, St. Louis, Nashville, and the Islanders at the start of December. I thought we played well there. And then even going into the trade deadline, I think we won 5 out of our 6, heading into there. So we looked at a situation where, hey, we're going to get Linus Allmark back, in March here, see how things progress. We understood that our schedule was going to be extremely difficult through March, but we were excited about playing those games and seeing where we can go. And I think that's where, this group has shown that for glimpses, they can be, we can be a very strong team. But it's imperative that we add more depth to that group and improve our young players to be legit NHL players to have success here moving forward. And that's why I would think that our fan base would be excited about the young players that we have coming in here and that we've shown that we can do it. Now it's imperative that we show that over 82 games.
Jason, Heather Prusek here from the CBS station here in Buffalo. You know, the past two seasons, it seems like we've seen these collapses throughout the season. You know, you mentioned the 10-game winning streak two seasons ago. And then, you know, this year you guys were only 2 points out of a playoff spot at the trade deadline. I guess, you know, from a leadership standpoint in that room, how would you categorize the leadership? And what more do those leaders need to do to, you know, help get over this hump where these, you know, collapses and lapses during the seasons don't happen?
Yep. So, look, I think some of the biggest growth, you see it every day on the ice with Jack Eichel. Just his 2A game, I thought, really improved this year, going against other teams' top players, really handling those matchups. And really carrying us as a leader in those situations. But I think just as he continues to grow as a captain, you learn different things. You learn how to handle different situations, and he's certainly grown from that standpoint. I think in this environment nowadays, it has to be a group effort from a leadership standpoint. And it's important that we continue to have, you know, players coming up within our system that feel comfortable about talking, and we feel comfortable communicating with our coaches, but communicating with each other when things need to be challenged there. And, you know, I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why we went out and got Wayne Simmonds. We understood that looking at our schedule in March, how difficult it was going to be. But we wanted to bring a player that had some of that veteran experience, had some of that playoff experience, that could come in here into our room, bring a little bit more, I don't know about swagger or confidence in those difficult situations. And because I would say our players that have been here and our core guys, whether it's Ristolainen, Reinhardt, Eichel, they're open to ideas. They're open to understanding what they have to improve on their own games and interacting with our performance staff and with our coaches to see what they have to do to be better NHL players. But until you actually go through some of these experiences, it's difficult for them. But that's why we've tried to bring in people that have Stanley Cup rings, players that have playoff experience, for them to feed off of them.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for doing this. Just right off the bat, is there an interest in potentially a long-term contract for Sam Reinhart? And my second question is, when you have a young player like Rasmus Dahlin, who is obviously a building block, is there interest in getting him under contract long-term, or is that one of those situations where you wait to see what the market looks like, what the cap looks like over the next, you know, even 12 months at this point?
Yeah. And I think for both of them are in the same category. Until we have more clarity on where the salary cap's going to be, just the process of salary arbitration, what the time frame is going to be. You know, we've been in communication with most of our free agents, both restricted and unrestricted, their agents, and just let them know about, you know, where we're at. And obviously with the pause, I think a lot of teams are sort of in the same boat from that standpoint. So we'll certainly stay in communication with them. I think the last couple sort of months, the main communications come from our performance staff, helping all these guys sort of get set up with their home gyms. In the recent weeks, our coaching staff has reached out a lot more to our players for one-on-one meetings from that standpoint. But from a more of a contract standpoint, we'll wait until we get a little bit more direction from the National Hockey League before making those decisions. But the two players that you talked about, you know, both, I thought Sam again had another strong season, continues to be very dedicated to his off ice training, continuing to be very dedicated in communicating with our coaching staff on what he has to do to improve his game. And Rasmus Dahlin is, you know, look, we think the world of him. I think, you know, what he's done, be able to do on the power play, QB a power play at such a young age, is very impressive. I thought he handled defensive situations a lot better this year. And as I talked about before, he's one of the players I think that we have to utilize the next few months here to really get him in physical condition to handle the big minutes in the National Hockey League. I think that's the next step for him to play in all situations where we're bumping his minutes up. And you know, hopefully the next 4 or 5 months, he can put the physical strength on to handle those over 82-game schedule.
Jason, as far as the goaltending, I mean, Lena looked pretty impressive this year. He showcased signs of being a number one. Carter had had that 3-month lull, but he kind of settled down. Are they your goaltenders going forward? Can you say that right now, or I mean, do you want to add a veteran? How would you assess that, I guess?
Well, I think it's a situation where we'll continue to evaluate that throughout the summer. I think, though, that Linus took a big step, especially you look at some of his numbers at even strength. I thought he did a very good job for us. And then just from a team concept standpoint, when we faced some of the injuries in January to our forward group, I thought he really stepped up and played extremely well. So, you know, there was, when coming off the break, for him to get injured like that, it was certainly disappointing. I think you saw it even in the game against Washington right before the pause. You know, our team played very well in front of him. He made some key saves against Washington and obviously was able to win the game in a shootout there. So I think he's taken big steps in his career here. Carter, I thought, was outstanding at the start of the year. Certainly his game slipped when we came back from Sweden. And that's something that we certainly have to look at from the standpoint of getting more consistency from him, because in the last 2 years in the second half, it just hasn't been the same as his first half.
Jason, just something to start, and then I'll follow up. You've been a cap team, certainly under the Pegulas, and you were going to be almost an over-the-cap team this year. But given their loss of revenue expected from both the pandemic and league-wide and the expected drop in season ticket sales and their obvious financial issues going on, have you received any new financial mandates from ownership? And will you be able to spend as you see fit going forward?
Well, look, those are the communications I'm having with the Pegulas on a daily occurrence here. And I haven't had that mandate yet. But look, you know, you're all dealing with it and stuff. And we're certainly dealing with it here, too. We're in a very, I think, as the word Commissioner Gary Bettman can keep saying, unprecedented times. And it's affecting a lot of different things. And we've had to make some hard decisions within our organization already. You know, it'll be interesting to see how we move forward with that. But, you know, the bottom line is, in my communication with them so far has been, you know, we have to look at things on, is there situations where some of our staff members can help out in different areas? But these are discussions that we certainly have to have over the next little while. And it's the difficult thing about it all, though, Mike, is trying to predict, you know, what the future entails. And if anyone can tell me for certain, you know, what the fall or what next winter is going to look like, I'd love to hear it. But that's why you have to look at a lot of different scenarios. And, you know, that's where, from a player standpoint, we like the fact that we have flexibility with our contracts. So if we think we can react to whatever the salary cap is going to end up going to be, we're also going to have to look from an employee side, also have that flexibility.
And the follow-up from the standpoint of players, and, you know, you talked a lot already about your young players. You have a core on your team of a lot of guys who have played a lot of games and have not made the playoffs yet. I think people want to know, when is the future? When is it always going to not be about the future? When is it going to be about today? It still seems that this franchise, all the way back to Darcy Regier, was talking about the future. When does this franchise get to talk about today?
Well, Mike, I think in a salary cap world, you always have, it's the imperative nature of the draft. You have to have young players always coming through your system. And that's why we continue to talk about young players in there. But the fact that we've gone out and gotten a player, traded draft picks for a player like Jeff Skinner, or, you know, tried to add a player like Wayne Simmons at the deadline, you know, we understand that there's a balance. We're not going to trade, you know, high first round picks left, right, and center. But I think when we've looked at it and there's an opportunity to help our team out, we've certainly tried to do that. And then also, too, from a free agent standpoint, bringing in a player like Marcus Johansson, we felt, hey, this is a player that could help out some of our forwards, add us more depth to it, help some of our young Swedish players. He's certainly done that. And we think there's a more opportunity for growth for him next year. So from our standpoint, we always want to look at, hey, making sure we always have a pipeline of young players coming in there to support. But we're excited about the core guys that we have at the National Hockey League level. Now it's important that we give them enough depth around them to help them out and get into the playoffs.
As Randy Sexton said, the communication between you and the players has been great and really good since this all started. As you talk to the players, what themes have come up about what they think went wrong or where they think the team can improve?
Well, I think you look at it, you know, there was excitement just as we talked, I touched on it before. There was excitement of playing at home. There was excitement of having former alumni come back, you know, just something simple as the white jerseys, the how good they look, the excitement in our building. I think we've talked a lot about having pride within our own city here, playing well in front of our own fans. And that really shone through this year and stuff, which I think our players were very excited about. You know, I think there was certainly disappointment. They understood the struggles of coming back from Sweden. I think you look at it where a lot of them are still trying to figure things out a little bit. It was just a disappointment after the trade deadline. We felt we played well in a lot of those games, but we didn't get the results. And that's where we have to make the next step as an organization. You know, playing well in those games is great, but we have to find a way to sort of get, we have to find a way to get over the hump in those environments there. But you know, I think a lot of things come up. That's the same thing that the coaches have discussed. It's the same thing the players have discussed. You look at our special teams, you know, our penalty killing has to be better next year. We showed it the previous year that we could be, you know, I think we finished around 11th or 12th last in 18, 19. You know, we have to be better in that area. And then the other part too is our power play. You know, we showed that we could be at the start of the year, top five, top 10 power play. With the skill that we certainly have in our top end of our lineup, there's no reason why we shouldn't be in the top 10 on the power play. So to me, special teams is a huge area where we need to improve for next year.
Hey, Jason, wondering, there's a lot of criticism out there, and a lot of it, whether it's justified or some of it just toxic or bad, but how do you, knowing that this is only, you're entering your fourth year, balance patience versus knowing that you believe in your plan to the point, and balance that and the urgency of knowing that this fan base hasn't tasted success for quite some time, some of it not your doing, but some of it, you know, that does fall on you. So how do you balance the patience you need and the urgency moving forward that you need to get this team right?
Well, look, as I've said before, I think there's always urgency in this position. And I'm not surprised that there's our passionate fans want to see a winner on the team, on the ice. Like, that's nothing surprising from our standpoint. We understand that. We understand that's part of pro sports. And, you know, in my communication with Ralph and, you know, we see them both being intertwined. We talk about development to young players and everything. Why are we talking about this? We're not building towards, you know, 3-4 years down the road. We want our young players to step in and put them in positions where they can succeed, where they can help out our core players right away. And so that's what we're talking about. When we talk about development, it also equates to trying to find a winning environment here. And what we've tried to bring into our group here is certainly players who want to be here, want to be part of our community. I think that's evident. And during this pause, you see what players such as Kyle Oposo, Jack Eichel, Jeff Skinner, and numerous of our players have done from a financial standpoint and being involved in the community. They're ingrained here. They love being here. They want to, you know, support our community and show a winner to our community. So that gets us excited. And we have players who are certainly interactive with our performance staff, with our coaches, on what are the little things that they have to continue to work on to become better NHL players. And so we have that internal development to help win games. And as a GM, my responsibility is to see that development, oversee that development, but also see what players are on the market through trades and free agency that we can come in and help support these guys.
Hey, Jason, John Scott here from Spectrum News. We saw John Worrell came out with some comments yesterday from the Pegulas regarding your job security and coming back for next year. But one of the phrases I think that stood out to many people is that they acknowledge that they've understood it may not be a popular decision in the fan base. How much pressure do you put on yourself and feel that the ship has to get turned around and make the playoffs for next year, or else you may be out of a job?
Well, look, I think there's always pressure with this position. I know how hard our players are working, how hard our coaches are working. I want them to have success out on the ice. And my responsibility is not going to change. I have to continue to build this organization to be strong at all levels across, you know, whether it's Rochester, whether it's Buffalo. And whether it's goaltending, defense, forwards, it's imperative that we get stronger in these spots. And I think we're on the path to doing that, but it's important that that continues to grow over the next couple, however long this offseason is. And, you know, I think we're going to have an opportunity to have some flexibility from a contract standpoint. We'll see what's available from a free agency standpoint, see what's available from a trade standpoint, where we feel at least comfortable that we've put ourselves in a position to have a stronger team for next year.
Jason, I know that you'll end up getting a good pick wherever it is with the way the draft lottery is set up. Are you dead set on making that pick because it's so valuable? And I know that you don't know what opportunities are going to come up, or would you consider moving that pick to potentially add some depth? I think immediately down the middle would be something that people would be interested to see. Is that something that's on your radar, or is it just too high of a pick that you would even consider moving it?
Well, I think you have to go through the lottery, obviously, and see where it's at, and also just see what's available from that perspective, both making the selection there, but also what the trade market is. And obviously teams right now are, the 24 teams are a lot more focused on, you know, playing the playoffs out here right now versus focusing on making trades. But look, it'll be something that we certainly look at. We've been very open to talk a lot about different things that can improve our team. That's certainly something that we'll at least consider.
Jason, Adam Bonini again, and just to kind of follow up on what Matt asked, what's your opinion of how the draft lottery wound up being structured this year with the two phases, just how they arrived at that decision and how it might impact your team?
Well, I think we're glad that from a consistent standpoint, we have the same odds that under the old scenario and the new scenario here. And at the end of the day, you know, look, it's, you know, they're trying to find different ways to, during this pause, to show, get interest within our market here. We know we're going to still have a strong pick. You know, obviously Gary and Bill Daly went through it all with us yesterday on a GM conference call. They have a lot of different things in play right now and stuff, and it's certainly difficult, and they have to make difficult decisions and stuff. But we feel the communication with the league has been very good, whether it's myself talking to, say, Colin Campbell or Bill Daly, or Pegula's talking with Gary at the top level there. And, you know, we're just excited that, hey, there was a lot of talk about the National Hockey League yesterday, about the 2014 playoff versus the draft. It's great to see, you know, us talking hockey and hopefully starting the process here to get back on the ice.
Hey, Jason, what do you make of Jeff Skinner's season? What would you, when you look at it, it's a difficult one to assess because of the injury, the analytics, he was still creating a lot of scoring chances. What do you sort of make of just the final production and the dip in goal scoring?
No, and I think as you go through it, there's certainly the disappointment when a goal scorer is not scoring goals, and especially someone like Jeff, who is passionate about his trade, works extremely hard off the ice, on the ice. You know, he's dedicated to becoming a better player and helping our team out. And it's an interesting standpoint. You look at it from the start of the year, he actually had a pretty good month of October from a goal scoring standpoint, and sort of got off on the right note there. What it gives us confidence moving forward here is just, we felt he had a lot of chances this past year. And you look at, it wasn't as if he wasn't, you know, getting those chances or getting those opportunities he did. I think, you know, a couple more of those go in. Jeff's always proven to be a sort of a streaky goal scorer from that standpoint. But the fact that he was still remaining getting those chances gives us a lot of hope that, hey, the production is going to come back next year.
With Jack, off the ice, it seems like that's where he made, you know, significant strides, and that sort of also helped him sort of flourish on the ice. Where did you see growth from him? And it seemed like year two as a captain, he was a little bit more comfortable in that position. That might have helped just his play.
Well, I think he took a lot more detail into just a two-way game, understanding both the defensive zone and then that sort of commitment to the defense, I think, allowed him to have the puck more and actually allowed him to have more offense and creative offensive chances. And I think you just look at it with the development of a guy like Victor Olofsson. You know, Jack was in constant communication with him, talking to him, telling him about different defenders throughout the league there. That knowledge that he's now gaining, you know, as a leader and just as a premier player in our league. It's great to see him then pass it along to other players near now. And then I think, too, just his communication with Ralph throughout the entire season. They were certainly on the same page, and they may not have agreed with everything, but there was that open dialogue on, hey, what's the best way for the team to take the steps moving forward there from that standpoint. So just that communication with myself, but more importantly with Ralph, I think was a big step in his development.
Jason, a couple of calendar-related questions. As you sit here today, not knowing really any definitive answer, when do you expect to be drafting? When do you think that might go down?
Sorry, Mike, I lost you there. When do you think the draft will be?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know any – there's no definitive answers, but when are you kind of spitballing as an organization when you might be doing this?
Well, it's the mindset of our organization is we have to be prepared for everything. So if you would have asked me a couple of weeks ago, I would have said that, you know, off the record, I probably said that we could be having a draft in June. So that's where we are at. Like, our preparation was, hey, we have to be ready for a draft in June. If it now is prolonged and it's going to be something more in the fall, which was looking like it's going to be more now, you know, hey, it gives us more time to tweak our list a little bit. It might even get to a situation where some players over in Europe, we might have an opportunity to see them and play and stuff again. So we have to be prepared for that. But, you know, our mindset as an organization through this whole process has certainly been, we have to be prepared. We have to control what we can control. And, you know, whenever our opinion has been asked by the National Hockey League, we certainly provided it. But there's just so much unknown from that standpoint. What we can control is, hey, how hard our players are working on a daily occurrence. And I think in this pause, our players have actually enjoyed that one consistency of being able to work out and being able to focus in on their bodies there. And from a draft perspective, you know, our staff has certainly been ready to, hey, we know that the call could come at any time from a draft, so we had to be ready. So we've gotten most of our work done from that standpoint. If we're prepared for a draft tomorrow, or if it waits to the fall, we'll be ready from either standpoint.
And the second point on the calendar is the seven teams who aren't playing, you don't know when you're going to play again, when you're going to have training camp. You don't know if there's going to be an AHL season. And in your organization, the AHL is pretty important to what you're trying to do here. I mean, how much of a competitive disadvantage is this going to be for all seven of you if you don't, you know, play an NHL game for 9 months if it goes that long?
And look, we have to spin it to make it a positive. And I've talked to you before, like, here's an opportunity for, you know, our young players to have months on end of a solid of strength training. And that's where it is going to be a challenge to make sure that, you know, we've talked to our performance staff a lot about it. And they'll be reaching out to our players now that we have sort of clarity that we're not part of the mix here in the summer. Hey, what are we specifically working on? Making sure that there's that growth from a physical standpoint. But our guys actually don't get, you know, almost overtrained from that bit. It's going to be that balance right there. For more of our NHL veteran players, I think more of the key is going to be to make sure their skills stay sharp. And it's why we've, you know, we'll see what materializes, but we've talked to league about, you know, the possibility of us having the seven teams having a camp, you know, and just sort of the ability for maybe our coaching staff to go on the ice with them. They've at least been open to the idea. They'll certainly talk to the PA and we'll see if we can figure out something from that standpoint. But, you know, it's there's a lot of different things in play. Like, you look at a lot of these players, you know, they've always gone to these camps in the past from different strength coaches and sort of players getting together. Probably a lot of these camps won't be going on. So it's going to be imperative that our, you know, performance staff and our coaches, especially in the fall, really focus in on trying to get things in order and get these guys sharp. I think throughout the summer, there's going to be a normal pattern there. But I think when they're usually used to coming back and start playing in September, it's going to be important that we find, you know, creative ways to, whether it's here in Buffalo, whether it's in their home bases, making sure their skills are ready. And once we do get going in December, you look at the next 18 months or so, it could be very strenuous. So there, you don't really know when the next time you're going to get a break there.
Jason, just kind of curious to wrap up here. The league said earlier in the year that there is going to be more data than ever before with advances in analytics and all of those different types of things. And with player tracking on the horizon and all this new information potentially at your disposal, how do you plan to use that to your advantage to maybe get a leg up on some competition?
Well, I don't know if there's a leg up on the competition at all, but it is a situation where, you know, we get a lot of that information already through different companies. And Jason Nightingale, is someone that I trust from on our staff, whether it's interacting with our coaching staff on matchups, on how players are performing, whether it's through a draft eligible standpoint. That's the greatest thing that sort of has stepped up in the last couple of years is just the information that we're now getting from anywhere from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League to the USHL to the German League to the Swedish Elite League. And there's an abundance of information coming in from that standpoint. So I think we've done a very good job in sort of, you know, utilizing, blending the two mixes of our scouts information and Jason's information from an analytics standpoint that has provided us with, you know, our ability to make sound decisions as an organization. Do I think it's a huge advantage compared to other organizations? I think a lot of organizations have that information now, and it's just how we continue to utilize it across all factors of it. And, you know, I think the knowledge from our scouting staff, to our my assistant general managers, to our coaching staff, just in, you know, educating them about the process and what this information can provide them, has certainly been very good. And Jason's done a great job in leading that charge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.